Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do. We shall start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on the Sabbath day with an opportunity to see the showbread changed. Thank you for blessing our hearts and giving us opportunity to grow in Christ. We also pray that you forgive us when we fall short, and you bless us with all that we need to grow in Christ, to go forth and to do this work that you have called us to do. Thank you for the hedge of angels you have about us, as well as the strength and the courage to stand firm no matter what. No matter how difficult it is or how close to home the attacks come, we thank you for blessing us the way you promised and giving us that peace that only Jesus can give. Please bless everyone on our prayer list. Please bless everyone in attendance. And please bless us with your presence. And thank you for also bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that you alone are the one being glorified. And thank you for blessing this gathering in a special way on this Sabbath. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen, and amen, and amen. Hopefully the phone works correctly. We're doing it differently for those of you listening on the phone right now. I actually have it in my office, and hopefully it'll work. It worked okay last night, but it kept shutting off to where I had to keep on recalling. So if all of a sudden you get no sound on the phone, just wait about, 20, 30 seconds, because then it'll send me a busy signal, and I'll hear it. And then I'll recall. Yeah, so just stay online, and I'll be back in, and then everything will be back to normal. I hope to get in touch with the people this week to figure out why we're having problems with this so-called free service. So, all right. I want to welcome some of the new people. Well, all the new people. Sabbath blessings to everyone, of course. We got some new people down in there on the bottom of the list. We got Dino, Craig, Chris, Margaret, and Polly. There were a couple others in earlier, like Jake and somebody else, but they already PM'd me or emailed me and asked me to turn on their texting, and they have since done so. So I hope and pray this Sabbath is a blessing to you all. And if you're new and you want to read along with the notes, just scroll underneath the text chat, and you'll see that we left off on question number 24, which is, what does God require of us that we may possess his character? And it says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, and thank you again, Brother Gorin. It says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Do you all recall that, I think it was seven parts, it was a sermon series I did on sanctification. Our Lord is very serious about how our characters are to be formed after the likeness of his Son. And yes, the worldly preachers keep claiming you can never be perfect or holy, but as we see so often in the Word of God, for them to make such statements is to declare our God a liar. He says here in Leviticus 20, verse 7, that we should be holy. Does he not? I mean, there's no gray areas there. I mean, and the second verse suggested in the study is 1 Peter 1:16 that clearly says, without beating around the bush, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Or what about Matthew 5:48, where our Lord, Savior, and King says with his very own lips, while he was walking among us 2,000 years ago, in that Sermon on the Mount, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. But then we also know that the enemy of souls likes to redefine words and twist the scriptures and trample them underfoot, defile the bread. This is why you've got NIV, NASB, Douay Rheims. We got all sorts of Bibles out there that he's more or less, I like to call them bogus Bibles. It's, and this is one of the reasons, too, that you have 44,000 different denominations, because it's whenever someone starts to get sick, and you could see this with some of the new theologies that have been popping up recently, but as soon as someone starts to get serious about their walk with Christ, and they show some potential and actually start leading people into the truth, you know, like Martin Luther, for example, let's say, the enemy is going to go after him. And he did, and he tried to slow him down, but Luther stood pretty firm, and he, even though he was a Sunday keeper, the message that he had for that time was Reformation, and he ran with it to the best of his ability. He didn't know about the law yet or anything in respect to, you know, how the prophecies of Daniel predicted the popes would change the Sabbath. So he, you know, he wasn't aware of that yet. So, and we know the Bible says that the Lord's going to weaken our times of ignorance, so he can't be held accountable for it. But what happened directly after he died? Slowly but surely, those people that started walking a little better started getting a little lazy. And it's just like with anything else, that they're, you know, it'll spin off from there too. And then you'll have another Bible that's written or another creed that they lift up above the Bible. But those preachers that claim we can never attain perfection are literally preachers of Satan. Christianity has been so watered down today that it's easy to see why so many people believe all these lies. And it's comfortable for them to believe the lies. I mean, they've been lied to ever since they were kids. You know, and their own parents started lying to them. You know, I did a video about that, of course, about Santa Claus. We've all done it. We're all guilty of that. I remember telling my kids about Santa Claus, but not in any... I may have told one or two of them in the beginning, but pretty quickly, I found out, and then, and this is one of the reasons we pulled, well, not the main reason, though, because I remember one time going into the schools to talk to one of my son's teachers because they wanted to put my son in special ed. And when I found out the reason why, I got a little upset. They said he wasn't understanding reality or something to that effect because he didn't believe in Santa Claus. This is so believing fiction has now become the new reality in schools. I mean, I didn't say it in that way, but that's more or less what I was thinking. I mean, that's, you got to be kidding me. I don't know if it was myself or my wife that went and talked to the teacher back then. I may have said something on the phone to them, but I know I had a field day with one of them. And maybe it was the other thing where they sent the children home. This is when we had two kids in high school, and they sent us home with a flyer that the teachers gave all the kids telling them to tell their parents they don't have to come to school the next day because they're going to have a seminar all day long in the school. And you know the majority of the kids were going to go because the majority of the kids' parents worked a 9-to-5 job, and school became their babysitter. So they had no choice. They couldn't just let the kids stay home. So all day long, those kids had to sit that seminar listening to the positive talking points on why it's okay to have two mommies and two daddies. Well, we, of course, didn't let our kids go. They stayed home, you know. But that was the last time they went to school, too. And so lies have become so commonplace. That's more or less the sermon series that I have been doing. I think I'm going to be putting it on hold for a while because the Lord's given me something for next Sabbath, but I don't know yet. But this is why people actually consider us hateful now, because the lies have become so embraced globally that if you go against that, you preach hatred, even though we can back everything we preach with Scripture. But what they first did was pretty ingenious when you think about it, because the devil was involved. Mankind couldn't have figured this one out. But they've already torn into the Bible in such a way that there's so many bogus Bibles out there now that most people don't even believe in the Bible. So when it got to that mindset, then yeah, now it's easy to call the Christians haters because they can't prove they're not. Because most Christians out there have bogus Bibles. So Christianity, again, has been so watered down that it's easy to see why so many people believe the lies. Some even go so far as to place bumper stickers on their cars that say Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. And I've stated that before because I've seen it. I've seen the bumper sticker. I think I even had one of those. But I don't like bumper stickers because I know what happens after a few months. It just falls apart and makes the car look trashy. But they may think that bumper sticker is clever and actually worth every penny they paid for it. But Romans chapter 1, verse 22, clearly says, professing themselves to be wise, they literally became fools. But just so I'm not misunderstood here, I think it's wise that they share, a few more passages in the Word of God that we see where the word perfect is being used. And I think I used these in one of the sermons recently, but it does bear repeating. It certainly does. You remember the rich man that approached Jesus in Matthew chapter 19? After declaring Jesus Christ to be good master, which denotes he was Messiah and the Son of God, Jesus said unto him in Matthew 19:21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Why would Jesus declare the young man could be perfect unless he could actually be perfect? It's obviously one of those verses that you may have trouble finding, or twisted in other Bibles. As a matter of fact, let me check real quick. Because I like to keep... This Bible was given to me many, many years ago as a gift. And I held on to it because it allows me to use it to show people how they shouldn't use it. I like to hand it to people and say, hey, go to Acts chapter 8, verse 37, and just sit there and wait. It's just not going to happen. It just doesn't exist. It's not in this Bible, along with about 2,000 other verses. But that one always comes to mind because that one actually proves the Catholic Church was the one that doctored this book, the Bible, because they baptized babies. In Acts chapter 8, verse 37, the eunuch and Philip are talking about getting baptized, and he tells them, hey, you confess your sins, you've repented, you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, you can get baptized. A baby can't do that. So, pull the verse. But let's go there. Where was it here? Be perfect and be of glory. Yeah, Matthew 19:21. Okay, let me just... let's just see, because I'm curious. I've never actually looked into this one. But just for giggles, just to see. 19:21. Man, there's so many helps. Sometimes it's like this page here, page 1691. It's the first page for chapter 19 of Matthew. It's like one-third of the page is Bible verses, two-thirds are helps. In other words, let us tell you what it says. Let us tell you what it means, And only 8 verses on that page. The next page, it only got up to 23, or 22. Okay, so they're more or less keeping it there. It says, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. So they're okay there, which means they missed it, because their bumper stickers say otherwise. I mean, their own Bibles tell them, and that's one of the beauties too. They can't get it all. That's why I made that bogus Bibles page. If you start at the top, work your way down to the bottom, you'll see there's a pattern to the verses they removed, but they simply could not get them all. There's just too many of them. The Lord's amazing the way he intertwines the truth in so many areas that if they pull it, this is going to ruin the whole chapter, so we got to be careful here because it'll really, really point out that we're messing with it. So they leave it, and they're stuck. And this is one of the reasons you see them pushing in all the churches, including the Ninth Hour Church, that the pastor's word is now gospel. The creed has become more important than the Bible. I mean, the Catholic Church says that right in their catechism. The creed is above the Bible. Their tradition is above the Bible. And then they use it as a way to acknowledge their mark, which is Sunday. Because they say there's not a Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation to acknowledge that you guys should be going to church on Sunday when they're talking to their flock. They say the Bible specifically states the Sabbath was never changed. It's always been the seventh day, even after the cross of Christ. But to prove our tradition is above the Bible, check it out. You guys are going to church on Sunday. So it proves our tradition is more holy than the Bible you're holding in your hand. So the people put it down. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So is Paul lying to the Christians in Corinth? I mean, according to all those false preachers and bumper stickers, yeah. Paul seems to be a bold-faced liar. And then Philippians chapter 3, verse 15 also says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So now he's, according to them, lying to the Philippians. Or in Philippi, the people in Philippi. So now do you see why so many have come forward in these last days declaring Paul a false apostle, and they're actually trying to, I ran across these people right when I got online, 10 or 15 years ago, I don't even remember when. I know the website was 2000, one of the websites was 2010. I don't remember, but anyway, well, actually the URL, the remnantofgod.org, I think, was 2010. But, it couldn't have been 2010, because it's only 15 now. Been on there more than 15 years. I think it was 2000, yeah. But anyway, these people have to, declare Paul a false apostle, and it's really easy to do if people don't read their Bibles. If they don't read their Bibles, and people come up to them that have intelligence and know how to twist Bible verses, this is how they keep them in the pews in all the churches now. And it worked for Rome for so long and so well that they convinced all the other churches to do it as well. It says, look, you can keep them in the pews if you just preach the way we do. So when you have your sermons, don't preach the verses in context. Preach them in the context of tradition. Put them where you need them to be. And that's why when you go to a Catholic church, this is where I first noticed it when I was young, the preacher would speak one Bible verse, jump 5 or 6 chapters into another book maybe, pull out another Bible verse and read that one, totally disconnected from each other, and then build a homily, they called it, or sermon, as we call it. But he would build a homily on that. And this is how they preach today. Or preacher Tain. So they have to declare Paul a false apostle because he says so many things that rub these so-called Christians the wrong way that, like the Jews that ripped Daniel out of their Bibles, they seek to rip Paul out of ours. Paul, again, says in 2 Timothy 3:17 that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then the apostle James says in James chapter 1, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So, yes, many claim the Bible is a lie, while at the same time claiming the Bible is their book. But then that is the basic definition of Babylon. Now, here's another weird thing that you'll see. And atheists do this. They'll say the Bible's a lie. And then they'll open the Bible. When they got a Christian in the room, they'll read from that Bible and tell them, you have to believe what this Bible's saying now. That it's totally different from what you believe. Wait a second here now. 10 minutes ago, I was believing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and there was a creator God in the heavens, and I did so based on what I find in this book, and now you're telling me to believe that there is no God in the heavens, and Jesus Christ isn't the Lord and Savior, and you're using the same book to declare it as truth? And no one seems to catch that. They use the Bible on both ends of the spectrum. Kind of like some people use their friends. Or people that they like to manipulate. They fight both ends against the middle. So, again, calling the Bible a lie and claiming the Bible is their book at the same time is the basic definition of Babylon. For those that preach our God is a liar, I can only echo one passage in closing in regards to this question, and that happens to be Acts chapter 24, verse 14, that says, But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. So let them preach what they want to preach. Let them teach what they want to teach. And notice this, too. Some of them will do this to you. Because I've noticed this over the years. As a matter of fact, I got an email this morning about this. People declaring that they have so much intelligence, but then they have all these strange doctrines, of course, right? They'll try to flood you with facts. Kind of like Sam Ballett throwing a bunch of stones in the good pile of rock that Nehemiah was trying to use to rebuild that wall. And being repairers of the breach, as we were talking about this last night, some with intelligence will come forward and try to dazzle you with all this out-of-context theology, which you, if you are a babe in Christ, don't catch right off. And they'll do the best they can to make you feel stupid, like you don't have the necessary means by which to understand or even share your faith. But here is something that may help you. Twice in the Word of God, it says this. All right, I'm going to read it first in Acts 17:30. And it says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And then 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 says, and Paul speaking of himself, he says, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." So the Lord winked at that too. So when they come to you and acting like they know it all, and they're trying to make you feel like you don't know anything, remember that your Father knows your heart. Remember that. You may not know it all. None of us do. Even these so-called doctors of divinity don't know it all. Your scriptures declare plainly, prophetically speaking as well, that we're going to be studying the scriptures throughout all eternity. So they don't know it all. But my Father knows my heart. And he knows I'm doing the best I can with the information he has revealed to me. If I'm doing wrong, he'll wink at it because he knows I'm trying my best. And I have his Bible right here in front of me. And I know I understand this, I understand that, and I don't understand this, and I don't understand that. But I do understand this. The doctrines you proclaim to be truth are lies in my Bible. So all the dazzling they try to do, all the twisting and tearing down of the truth to try to make you feel where you're not capable of sharing your faith or even the word to anybody on the street, just say, you know, the Lord knows who I am. I can be dumb as a bag of rocks, but if I have one truth, look at the thief on the cross. How much theology did that guy get to study in those 3 or 4 minutes or 30 or 40 minutes? Who knows? I don't know when he asked Jesus before he breathed his last to remember him when he got into his kingdom. But the fact remains that man is going to be in heaven when heaven starts, because Jesus told him he would be. And that man has been used by the Lord Jesus Christ to show billions about the mercy of God. That guy had the shortest and one of the most powerful ministries known to man. Because we really don't know. I mean, let's say he was on the cross for an hour, thinking and contemplating what Christ just said to him. And then he dies. Seriously. Look at how many people he affected. And for all intents and purposes, he was as dumb as a bag of rocks when it came to, you know, Christianity. He only knew Jesus. That's really all he needs to know. You don't have to be a theologian. You just have to be obedient. And then if you are obedient, the Lord knows he can trust you. And he'll run with you. And then he sees your obedience continues in all areas, and he gives you more and more duties and more wisdom. Okay, question number 25. It says, "What has the Lord done which reveals his authority as the true God?" And it says in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 26, For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Ever notice that? There are so many different gods in the world. In paganism, there is one god for every day of the year. And that's why the Vatican has a saint for each day of the year. I mean, if you've ever seen pictures of Vatican City or the Vatican itself, look at the wall, the top. Look at all those statues. And they're not all up. There's just not enough room for 365 statues. You're going to have to go indoors to see the rest. So they're simply pagan gods with Christian titles. That's all they did. They even admitted that in writing. I've got it on the Words of a Beast page. Look in the paganism or Babylonian section. They actually, and they even say, this is a cardinal declaring this, that they have adopted these pagan saints and gods and given them Christian names and baptized paganism is what they actually said. They admit this stuff, knowing full well that the overwhelming majority of the Roman Catholics sitting in their church pews aren't going to look into it. Because they already know they don't even open up their own Bibles, and so why are they going to bother looking and doing some research? And they know they don't open their Bibles because of the homily and the way it's preached. And they sit there and soak it. Well, they don't really. It'll bore you to tears. I went to Catholic church every holy day of obligation when I was a young man. I had no choice. My parents were Catholic. I mean, in today's world, there are a few false gods that appear to be the favorites of many. And when it comes to the false religions of these gods, we see the Hindus or the Chinese traditionalism or the Buddhists or Shiites or Spiritism you even got the Shintoism. I mean, some of these things, I never heard of this stuff before, or even Baha'i. I mean, that Baha'i thing was showing up a lot in Fire Talk days. These guys are pushing that left and right. Then you got Zoroastrians and Zainisms and Neo-Paganism, Universalism, which is actually just Catholicism with a new, you know, with a new name. And then you got Rastafarianism. And then, of course, yeah, you even got Luciferianism, you know, devil worshippers. They actually, you know, think that his name was never changed to Satan. They think they don't believe he fell. They don't believe he was kicked out of heaven. Or at least, you know, in defeat. You know, they think he is powerful and all-knowing and God. I mean, this is why they bury their loved ones in trapezoidal coffins. That's why you saw John Paul II in a trapezoidal coffin. I go and, you know, just go to the Papal Bonesman page on the website. There's actual photographs of John Paul II's coffin. It's trapezoidal. And that's a Luciferian or a devil worshipper will prefer that format so as to allow Satan to to conjure them back to life later on whenever he decides he needs them. Yet, if you notice, not one of these false religions or these strange gods or anything, none of them claim to be creators. None of them. I mean, even look at Islam, for example. You got Muhammad out there saying that he's all-knowing, he's, you know, even like a god or whatever, and the Quran's all about him and written about him. And they say the Bible's no different. Really? 60 different books. You know, at least 40 different men and women speaking about Jesus before, during, and after he visited us. Muhammad speaks of himself. Just like the prophecy said, when one man comes speaking in his own name, him ye shall believe. Didn't Jesus say that? And for those that do claim to worship the Creator God, like the Jew or even the Muslims, you know, because they have a preconceived idea of what the God of Muhammad is, or even the Catholics, their version of him is so far from the biblical definition that they fulfill the prophecies regarding the preaching of another Jesus unto all. Still, these false religions flourish because people prefer the lies of the world over and above the Creator of the world for some odd reason. And so be it. I mean, I can only echo 24 verses 14 and 15 of the book of Joshua, which says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. And by the way, I looked online. Were you aware? I mean, this floored me when I found this. There are 2,500 false gods out there. Man, that demon has been busy, but for naught. Because the creator of all that is seen and unseen, our King, is about to put an end to all of this so that we can go home and be happy and peaceful for all eternity. Hope and pray you are blessed this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.